For a long time, I've been wanting to preach on the zeal of God. It's not a word we often use today, and I noticed, Phil, even in your translation, that you had, I think it was said, devoted, wholly devoted, rather than zealous for God in one of the readings. Zeal means fervour for a person, for a cause, for an object, an eager desire or an endeavour, enthusiastic diligence and ardour. We don't hear those words, fervour or ardour, very often either. Zeal in a religious sense means wholehearted devotion to God. The word zeal or zealous is used 40 times in the Bible. It means having a strong passion for a cause. It means getting excited, being relentless in our way of saying it too, having a fervent spirit. You know, I'm sure you've met those people who are just bursting with enthusiasm for God. We are all different and we all have different ways of expressing it, but it doesn't excuse us still from being zealous, excited, or passionate for God. Makes me think of that old song, you know, "The zeal of God has consumed me, it burneth in my soul. A mighty fortress that cannot be moved, a fire that cannot be quenched." And it goes on to hallelujah, hallelujah. Some of the people in the music team didn't know it. That's how old it is. If you had to describe to someone today your passion for God and his ways, is that how you would describe it? If you can't describe how passionate you are about your faith, what are you passionate about or zealous for? In history, we've had some zealous, ardent leaders whose misguided, perilous beliefs brought untold tragedy and death to so many innocent people. Thankfully, history also shows some wonderfully zealous leaders who effected change for the better and for many. William Wallace fought for Scottish independence from the oppressive English regime at that time. Another famous warrior was the devout woman Joan of Arc, who was martyred for her devotion to God. Martin Luther King fought for equal rights for Negro Americans and for all. His passionate speech is said to be one of the most impactful on all of history. We can be thankful for some ardent or zealous reformers and despair at others. Many of the disciples were passionate as they followed Jesus. Peter obviously was, although many times that passion led him into trouble, such as when he cut off the ear of one of the men who came to arrest Jesus. In Luke 22:38, at the Last Supper, the disciples tell Jesus, "See, Lord, here we have two swords." And this is most likely Peter, but also another disciple, Simon, who was often referred to as Simon the Zealot. We know when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter draws his sword and cuts off the ear of Malchus, the high priest's servant. And it's not a stretch to assume that the second sword was owned by Simon the Zealot. But ironically, despite his at times hot-headed passion, he kept it hidden, and Peter in this time turned to violence. The New Testament doesn't say much about Simon, except to say he was a zealot. The zealots were fanatical Jewish nationalists who had a heroic disregard for the suffering involved and the struggle for what they regarded as the purity of their faith. The zealots were crazed with hatred for the Romans and known for their political activism. Josephus says the zealots were reckless people, zealous and fanatical in good practices and extravagant and reckless in the worst kind of actions. In fighting for their cause, nothing could stop them. They would get the job done. Another odd aspect was that the zealots generally agreed with the Pharisees as far as legalistic observance of the commandments went. And Jesus frequently, as we know, clashed with the Pharisees over their strict interpretation of the law. We might wonder how Simon reacted to that. We might wonder why Jesus called him. From this background, we see that Simon was a fanatical nationalist, a man devoted to the law, a man with bitter hatred for anyone who dared to compromise with Rome. Simon the Zealot, the man who once would have killed out of loyalty to Israel, became the man who saw that God will have no forced or token service. His devotion to God was recorded as being wholehearted. Why would Jesus choose someone of that background? What a risk Jesus took by bringing all the disciples together. In any other setting, Simon would have killed Matthew, as his political views and partnership with the Romans as he collected the taxes were at opposite ends of the spectrum, the political spectrum, to Simon. It's amazing that Jesus would select a man like Simon to be an apostle. Clearly, however, Simon emerges as a man of faith. He abandoned all his hatred for the faith that he showed toward his master and the love that he was willing to share with the rest of the disciples, and especially Matthew, the Roman tax collector. Jesus knew he was a man of fierce loyalties, amazing passion, courage and zeal, and he wanted him on his team. Simon believed the truth, embraced the truth, and embraced Jesus as Lord. And this fiery enthusiasm he once had for Israel, he learnt to express in his devotion to Christ. We see too that God is zealous. He's zealous for us. Jesus too was zealous and fervent, whether he was loving and healing the bleeding woman, welcoming Zacchaeus, or turning over the tables in the temple. The song I referred to earlier is from Psalm 69, and then when Jesus upended the marketeers and the money changers in the temple courts, the disciples refer to this psalm in John 2:17, making it prophetic, as it says, "Zeal for your house will consume me." It's interesting to note when Jesus throws these money changers and sellers out of the temple. It isn't the first time that he sees them. Some people think that perhaps Jesus had a meltdown when he did this, but it was much more considered and thought out. It wasn't a spur-of-the-moment reaction. In Mark, it says he saw them late at night and then he went back the next day and cleared them out. John has him stopping and making a whip before he actually acts. He has time to think about what he's going to do. It was not done impulsively, even though it was done angrily and zealously. He hated his temple being used with such passion for money-making rather than for devotion to his Father. And also, he would have been angry because these sellers were set up in the outer courts of the temple, which was reserved for the Gentiles. These were the courts that they were allowed to enter to be able to hear the word of God. They could not hear the word of God if the temple was full of money changers and salesmen. God is a jealous God. He wants all of us, all of our loyalty. He wants our total devotion. He was so particular that only God's name must be glorified in the temple. And he expects the same in our lives too. After all, our body is referred to as the temple for the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 3:16, among many others. Whatever we do, let it glorify God alone. Let's oust everything that does not fit into God's plan for our life. As I said, he's zealous and eager about protecting what is precious to him. If you're allowing stuff in your life, in your temple, that is not glorifying to him, he is not going to rest until you get rid of it. His actions in the temple prove this and show that he will not settle for less. What do you need to clean out of your temple to make room for him and to give him access to all areas, that which he jealously longs for? And we also see the type of devotion and service God longs for us from the Revelation verses. To the church in Laodicea, John in Revelation writes, "I know your deeds, that you are neither hot or cold. I wish you were one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. There is no place for a divided or a half-hearted heart in discipleship. Jesus asks for and desires total devotion. This was what Simon the Zealot brought to Jesus' band of disciples. We see too of how zealous Jesus' love and passion for us is in the passion, in Jesus dying on the cross for us. The word passion comes from the Latin verb patio, passisom, and means to suffer or to bear or to endure. So being zealous is also about endurance amidst whatever life may bring. We see Paul passionate for Christ still, despite being locked up in jail. Jesus' rugged determination and absolute conviction saw him able to follow through on the most suffering anyone could endure, death by crucifixion and separation from his Father. So as we can come to know the Father and be restored to the relationship with the living God for which we are created. To be zealous for God, we first have to know him. Do you know Jesus personally? Or do you wonder what everyone is talking about when they say that they have a personal relationship with Jesus? You can come to know him. Our God is zealous for that. That is why he died in our place. If you don't know him, ask God to reveal himself to you. His love for you is beyond what you could ever begin to imagine. And if you are fair dinkum, with your fair dinkumness and God's burning desire to know you, it means that it will happen. Talk with someone after the service too, if you would like someone to pray with you about this. Whilst it is so important to get to know God, it is also possible, as our reading from Revelation says, to forget or become indifferent or apathetic to what Jesus has done for you. In Revelation, the church in Ephesus is rebuked for forgetting their first love. We need to remember that moment when we first came to know God and use that to drive our growth in him and our service for him. We also need to remember what it cost him, lest we find ourselves becoming the slaves of men. How zealous are you? Paul too was known for his zeal, both when persecuting Christians and when encouraging them after his conversion. Our reading from Romans today in verse 11 has Paul telling us never to be lacking in zeal, but to keep our spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. Keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. How is your spiritual fervour going? For some, the pandemic has forced them to draw closer to God, rediscovering who he is and what he means. It's enabled some to dig deeper and reevaluate what is important. For others, it's meant perhaps a time to have a break. For some, not meeting with other Christians has left them struggling, feeling lonely and quite empty. It's not easy to keep up our spiritual fervour, particularly alone, particularly when we neglect meeting together. Life can sap us of our energy, our resolve, our hope, leaving us feeling empty, lost, lonely, questioning what on earth we are doing. When I first reflected on the word zeal, the pink mechanical bunny powered by Duracell batteries kept coming to mind. You know that ad? He's among many rabbits who slowly stop due to inferior batteries. But he keeps going. My friends, the Holy Spirit is not an inferior power source. He has taken up residence within us so we can complete the race that we have begun. At times the terrain may be rough and rugged and slow us up, and at other times it might be conducive to growth and service. Sometimes we may get lost or wander off or get distracted but we need to run it with determination and with zeal, no matter what the terrain. As I asked, how is your spiritual fervour, your zeal for God, your hunger to serve him and others? On a scale from feather to sword, what would it be? I'll give you a couple of moments to think. These same verses from Romans, I believe, also tell us ways to keep our spiritual fervour, to keep our passion alive. Love others, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be sincere, be joyful, hope, be patient, pray faithfully, share with those in need, practice hospitality, bless others, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, live in harmony and be humble. Do not be conceited and welcome everyone. What a list. If you are not sure how to live zealously for God or get confused by what he expects, you cannot be after reading these verses from Romans. Can I encourage you to reflect on these verses over the coming week and rate yourself on how you think you're going on each of those directions on how to live for him? With Steve, our new senior pastor, coming, how is he going to find us? Zealous or flaky? Passive or passionate? Apathetic or attentive? Ready to grow or content with the status quo? Indifferent or intentional? Lazy or proactive? Lackluster and dull or shining brightly? We have a responsibility for how zealous we are. And we have a God who gives us the power and to enable us to be that zealous for him. It's vital for us to understand our calling and then to live it zealously. We are surrounded by all kinds of evil spiritual powers that want to enslave us and hold us back. Spirits of indifference, of laziness, immorality, apathy, passivity and impurity can all be subtle, but nevertheless used by the enemy, who wants us to be anything but on fire for our God. Do you want him to get his hands on your spiritual life? If we do not watch and guard and fight with sufficient zeal, we will soon feel at home in this world, perhaps even desiring its false riches. It can happen so slowly, like the frog in hot water, you know, before he knows that it's boiling and it's too late. If that happens, we will not view sin as serious as it actually is, and we'll not be too concerned about a little bit of impurity or a little bit of bitterness or a little bit of unthankfulness. As we said earlier, God is a jealous God, and there can only be one person on the throne of our lives. And you can be sure God wants it to be him, and the enemy will constantly be trying to dethrone him. Why does God ask for all of your life? Why does he ask for all of you? How is your zeal or passion for him, God, for God and his ways going? When do you find your zeal waning? And what do you find keeps your heart and your mind passionate for God? Draw on those things. Think on those things and practice those things. What can you do this week that will make it clear to God of your love and your devotion to him? We may think we need time out, and at times we do. Sorry, don't hear me wrong. But sometimes we can get used to that passivity, not taking chances and not taking risks, just going with the flow. Passivity can cause us to grow in our Christian life at a snail's pace. Not only will it hinder our growth, but it can literally cause us to move backward in our development. It's the opposite to initiation and even involvement. Sometimes I find myself thinking, if I didn't have church on a Sunday morning, I'd have all this extra time available to me. Who's ever thought that before? And then I read Proverbs 23:17-18, and it says, Do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for fear of the Lord. There is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Watch too and guard against the hardening of your heart or becoming bitter. These are classic symptoms: cynicism, unresolved hurt, and unforgiveness that lead to hardening of hearts. Our own John Wesley was very zealous. He preached 42,000 sermons, often many in one day. He travelled 250,000 miles on horseback so his people would hear of God and of his message. He's one of his famous sayings is this: do all the good you can, in all the ways you can, to all the souls you can, in every place you can, at all the times you can, with all the zeal you can, as long as ever you can. Hebrews 6:11-12 says, we want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end, so that what you hope for may be fully realised. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. As we said earlier, God hates a divided heart. He demands our all. He wants us to make it all the way through to the end of the race. He's seen too many drop away. I'm sure you've seen faithful people drop away too. That's why he chose Simon the Zealot to be one of his disciples. His ardent zeal, he knew, would see Simon through to the end. Being zealous for God is more than being enthusiastic for him. Being zealous is being willing to die for the cause of Jesus Christ, as much as being willing to live for the cause of Christ. Revelation 2:10 says, be faithful even if it gets you killed, and I will give you a crown of righteousness. Simon went on to evangelize and preach in Egypt, Persia and Armenia. He was martyred along with Jude for his faith in 65 AD. Jesus walked the road of obedience all the way to his death on the cross. Paul too was beheaded and martyred for his faith. William Wallace, Joan of Arc and Martin Luther King were all martyred or assassinated for their beliefs. We may not ever have to be martyred for Christ, but being zealous for God does have to cost us. What is your zeal for God costing you? And some final words from Charles Spurgeon. Shall your zeal relax? Will you draw back? Will you lose your force? Will you slacken in prayer? Will you refuse to receive the blessing which awaits you? Will you take your heads from the crown when it is ready to descend? I pray you do not, he says. Let us contend earnestly for the faith once delivered to the saints. Let us pray with fervour, with passion. Let us live in holiness. Let us preach constantly and with passion. And may our zeal cause us to live so that we may impress our age and leave our footprints on the sands of time. What a challenge. Will you take it up? Will you allow your zeal for God never, never to die out? Will you be mindful and watch that it stays alight? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are a zealous God, that you are even a jealous God, and that you demand our all. Oh, Lord God, may we take seriously your desire here. And Lord, may we lay all of our life before you. May we hand all of our life over to you. May we allow you to take up every part within our being, within our temple, where your Holy Spirit resides. May we not leave any part closed off to you. Lord, as we share your word with a hurting world, as we share your message of love and of grace and of mercy, may we do it with zeal. May we do it passionately, so as people see that we are excited about what we are living for. So as they might too want to come to know you and be drawn into your kingdom. Lord, show us where our hearts are divided. Show us where we're not fully living for you. And we want to ask through your Holy Spirit that you will come and change that. So as our heart will be fully for you. Lord, we want to give you our all. We want you to be glorified. And we want to live for you passionately and zealously, just as you died on the cross for us. Go with us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.